This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
All right, let's talk about feeling our best without the hassle. You know those wellness trends that sound great but are impossible to stick with? Like taking apple cider vinegar shots. Yeah, no thanks. That's why I love Goli Nutrition. They make wellness simple, delicious, and effective with their chewable gummies packed with powerful ingredients. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health. And Goli's apple cider vinegar gummies make it easy to add to your routine. And when life gets stressful, the Ashwagandha gummies help me stay cool, calm, and collected. No wonder they're Goli's number one bestseller. Plus, all Goli gummies are vegan, gluten-free, and made with high-quality ingredients you can trust. Join millions of happy customers and see why Goli is the number one most sold item in U.S. retail across all vitamins, minerals, and supplements. Goli is changing the wellness game. Head to Goli.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try risk-free, backed by our money-back guarantee. Don't wait. Visit Goli.com today.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. As always, I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans is the show. Now we're at the halfway mark, well I'm going to call it the halfway mark, we're probably a little bit beyond that with the All-Star break. So, you know, I've had a couple of days off and refreshed and revitalized. So I thought to kick us off, I've got to bring someone in. I've got to bring in someone who knows much more than me, that wants to chat it out. We're going to break down the pills. We're going to break everything down. And it is from the Bros Who Think Network. You know him, Lynn Burton. Lynn, how you going, mate? Good to have you on the show.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Lyle. Glad to be here. And first time to all the Australian listeners. Good day. How you doing? I love it. I'm so excited to be on this show. To all the listeners in America, hello. And thank you for having me, man, for real.
The pleasure's all mine. I know we were talking about it for a little while, and I think we originally met back on Elliot Clough's show. Last year.
Yeah, and now he doesn't even do Pelicans media anymore. Like he's turned to like a college. I don't even know what college it is.
Yeah, I think he's at UNI. He's moved back home, and he's living it up over there. So shout out to him. I don't know whether or not he's listening, but hopefully.
Yeah, shout out to E, man. Shout out to Elliot. We miss you, brother, in Pelicans media.
Too right. He was the stabilizing force amongst people. I think he was nice.
and definitely an optimist among us for sure.
Exactly right. So how's things going? How's the network going? It's all your 4 podcasts you were telling me off show, off air. How's it all going?
Yeah, man. For those that don't know, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to even talk about this. I have a podcast network. That's how I got into this. We started in June of 2017 with the Bros Who Think podcast. That's our main show, our flagship show, which is a pop culture commentary where we talk about things that are going on in Twitter, relationships, sports, just basically anything that's taking over the conversation of the cultural zeitgeist and pop culture. Then we have a movie show where we talk about movie news and TV news. We also review the latest movies and TV shows on that show as well. It's called Bros Who Binge. We also have an anime show that's the same format as the other movie show, but it's strictly revolving around anime and manga. And then we have a YouTube exclusive show called Run It Back, where we review old movies. Like it's like we're taking, like we review every movie that's not a present movie. Like the last one we did was All the President's Men with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman. We've done Inglourious Basterds. We've done I'm trying to think of some, Training Day. We've done Superbad. So older movies that we all love, in because we're movie nerds at heart. And we have a bunch of other shows coming as well, shows that I don't host. And we're just trying to expand the network and grow, man, and make it as cool as possible and give people dope content that is relatable and great interviews as well.
That's awesome. I'll be tuning in for sure. Fantastic that it's all coming together for you. And, you know, I like guys that go out and say, well, I'm going to create something that's different and I'm going to create something that's ours and unique and what people want. So all credit to you. And look forward to investing in all of those.
It's not a one man show. I'm nothing without my team. Let me just shout them out real quick. Shout out to my guy, Adam Schubert, host of Bros Who Binge. Shout out to my guy, Krissa SJE, host of Anime Talk. Shout out to my guy, Christian Hollinger. We do YouTube videos together, part of the anime and manga division. We review different manga chapters. Shout out to my guy, Ian Hawley, host of Run It Back. And let me make sure I'm not missing anybody. Shout out to our new host, Jay and Parf. Shout out to my co-host of the Bros Who Think podcast, Brooklyn, and our new co-host, Jazz. And shout out to our guy, Justin Ivey, formerly of Hip Hop DX, who hosts a hip hop exclusive pod that we present called Never Less Than Ill. So got a lot going on, man. Like I said, I'm nothing without my team because of the work we put in. I got a radio show at ESPN Lafayette because of that. So like, this is for those out there listening. If you have a dream, I am a firm believer of follow and work hard and you can get it.
That's good. Good life advice. I think it translates to anything you're chasing. And all credit to you. And you know,
well, I mean, we met through this. We met through podcasting. It's crazy how great the internet is. I'm on a podcast that a guy from Australia makes, and I'm a guy in Lafayette, Louisiana. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And I think it really has broken down the geographical barriers now. You know, people can chat to people all over the world. You know, this will go out to all over the world. I know there's people in Poland listening and
shout out to our Polish friends, shout out to our Argentinian friends. Like, oh, this Singapore, that is amazing. Yeah. International Lyle, man. International Lynn. I love it.
Too right, exactly. So you know, people are listening and we appreciate everyone out there that is listening, you know. And if you want to check someone else out, go and check it all out over at the Bros Who Think Network.
And you now, can follow that Twitter at Bros Who Think.
Perfect. So what are we here for? Pelican. Oh. So I know it's almost a dirty word at this point. All-Star break was going to be pretty quiet. No Brandon Ingram. Make of that what you will. Two guys didn't play.
Nonsense.
You know, a bit of carry
Chris
on.
Chris Paul, that clown. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just really screwed the pooch for Brandon. Like, dude knew his hand. Like, I'm sorry, not to go off on tangent. He knew his hand was broken in that Houston game. You could see it. He says it. And like, you're going to just do a facade of like, oh yeah, I'm going to just be an all-star just to be there. Like, bro, they would have let you there and sit on the bench. Like, that's so messed up.
Well, I 100% agree. I mean, Draymond Green was there and he wasn't playing, but was still a part of it all. So disappointing to say the least, and a bit disrespectful, I think. For the way they did it. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, different situation, got crook the day of. I mean, you're not going to be able to get him out there a few hours before. So
at least KD did it right and was like, I'm not participating in the All-Star game. Find a replacement. Like, I respect KD. Like, KD is one of my favorite non-Pelicans players. And I respect how he did it because, like you said, Chris Paul and Draymond were super disrespectful for that.
Yeah. Not impressed about it at all. And I just thought it was disappointing because, you know, these guys are obviously holding onto a torch. They're at the other end of their careers. Brandon's right at the start. You know, the torch is going to pass. Otherwise, it drops off. And,
and if you look at like win share ratings, like Brandon's win share ratings is so it's extremely high. Majority of the Pelicans wins are with him. Like without him, that's where majority of those losses come. And All-Star shouldn't be about your team record. It should be about how you impact your team and your individual stats. And to me, Brandon Ingram is the definition of an All-Star, way more than Andrew Wiggins. But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, it's a whole whole another kettle of fish that carry on. And I mean, the popularity contest, which is the All-Star starters and big markets are always going to have an advantage there because they got more people. I mean, I remember when Jeremy Lin was on the was doing his Linsanity stuff, almost an all-star starter because of the huge
for the Knicks, yeah,
China, you know, and the Knicks, you know, his votes were only, I don't know, something like 2,000, 3,000 less than some of those big name stars at the time.
And, like, I remember, like, he was beating out like Dirk Nowitzki and like Dwayne Wade. It was like, what? How? Yeah,
exactly. Right.
But that's how the popularity contest for sure.
And
we did have some representation with CJ McCollum in the 3-point contest.
We did, and Herb Jones in the rookie sophomore, whatever, the Rising Stars game as well.
I kind of like the new style of making it four separate teams and doing a tournament. Like, that's cool stuff. They just need to get rid of that dunk contest, Lyle, and make it like a one-on-one King of the Hill, because that was the worst dunk contest I've ever seen. That was the worst presentation the NBA has ever put on. It was the worst anything. Like, across the board, it was the worst event the NBA has ever put on in its history. It was an embarrassment to the league.
Honestly, I could, the most telling video that I saw that came out from it was, there's Jalen Green in the background, he's going for a dunk, Kareem stands up and leaves, and he's being like ushered out by some, like, a lady's just like walking him out. And
can you blame him? That's an old man. Dude likes to go to sleep early. He stays up. He stayed up for that Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine dunk contest. If the dunk contest is good, he'll stay. But he saw people miss, like, but at that point, Lyle, the dunk contest had just started, and everyone before Jalen Green and Jalen Green had missed at least 5 to 6 dunks. It was embarrassing.
And, you know, they brought in this rule where it only counts as an attempt if the ball's on the way down. Which I think is just, I know that
asinine.
The definition is so, it's like basically the foul rule at the moment. No one knows what's going on. It's completely subjective. And you've got this guy who's throwing the ball, goes to jump, and doesn't put the ball down, just basically holds onto
it. Holds it and flies.
That's not an attempt. And you're sitting there going, well, I've been here half an hour waiting for you to do the exact thing that you're going to do in 20 minutes. Well, come on, like, let's get it together. You can't be sitting there for 3 hours.
I've seen better guys dunk on TikTok and YouTube than I did in that dunk contest.
Yeah, I think there should be like a public thing where they go out and find like just professional dunkers, because that would be awesome. What was the show, Dunk Stars or something like that?
Yep, which Shaq and all them hosted on TNT. Yep, with Jordan Klingon or whatever. I'm sorry if I'm messing your name up, but he was great. Like, I remember that 100%. But
Scorpion dunk.
You can make that. Yeah, 100%. And look, you could do it on Saturday. You can make the public event first, then do skills challenge, then 3-point, and finish the night with one-on-one King of the Hill tournament. Whoever wants to participate, and this will be known as the best one-on-one player in the NBA, and I guarantee you that would raise ratings of the All-Star game, of All-Star weekend, and fix the problem of the dunk contest. Because to me, Lyle, I think this all started when LeBron James did not participate in the dunk contest. Before LeBron, you got every star from Michael, Kobe. It was a rite of passage for young stars to do the dunk contest. When LeBron didn't do it, he allowed for people like Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, just the stars of that time not to do it. We got an anomaly year with Blake Griffin. It was an anomaly. It was great. Then it was shitty until Zach LaVine and Eric Gordon, and then, which was another anomaly year. And then we got to this point now. There's no reason why Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, if healthy, like some of these young stars aren't doing it, but they don't feel inclined to.
Yeah, and what benefit do they have to do it? You know, they're sitting there, at the moment, they're using it as if, like, it's a bit of a clout chasing sort of thing. If you're in the dunk contest, you know, that sort
to
of
raise your stock. You
know,
yeah,
exactly right. You know, remember we had the one, what was his name? Jeremy Evans from the Utah Jazz. They had that one. He painted a picture. That was a few years ago. There was all these, like, no names that you're sitting there going,
yep, who are
no
these
one
people?
Knows who you're, what you're doing, you know, and then we're never going to see you again. You know, that, what's his name? Derek Jones Jr. was a G League player for the Suns, came and did it. And now he's in
and literally the only reason why I know who he is in Miami is because of the dunk contest.
Yeah.
It's same thing you can argue happened with Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon became like this known dunker. People thought he was all-star caliber. And then it was like, oh no, wait, he's really not. And now he's in his proper role in Denver as a role player.
Yeah, exactly right. And and got the bag too. So he'd be happy with that.
Yes, he did.
He secured that, I tell you what. yeah, the one thing I did like was the new format of the skills challenge. I thought having the three teams, that Giannis was, they said, Giannis, who do you want to play with? And he said, I'll bring my brothers along. They got nothing else on. And, you know, besides that, I thought it was just such good fun because it made it entertaining because the guys were like, oh, hang on, we've actually got to compete.
Try. Yeah.
And, yeah, exactly. There wasn't this mentality of, you know, you were playing for something because it was three teams. You didn't get to get in the final. It wasn't like it was just 1v1v1. You had to play together.
No, 100%. Like, All-Star Saturday night was literally, minus the dunk contest, this was a great All-Star weekend. And the NBA, I've argued for a long time, Lyle, has the best All-Star anything in out of all the professional sports. I know people love the home run derby, but I argue that NBA Saturday night is just as entertaining as the home run derby. Plus, the All-Star game is better than that. So the only one competing is baseball. And Saturday night, minus the dunk contest, lived up to that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, that three-point contest was awesome.
I loved it, man. I was pulling for, like, at first I was like, man, I'm not really pulling for Karl Anthony Towns. I'm pulling for CJ. Mm. And then when CJ lost, I was like, okay, who am I pulling for? And then it was like, okay, I want to see it was Carl. I forget the two guards that was in it. It was Carl and Luke Kennard, Karl Anthony Towns, and there was one more guy who was in it. I'm gonna look it up real quick. I can't believe I'm blanking on it right now. But I was pulling for Karl Anthony Towns because he's a big man. In Lyle, in high school, I played center and power forward, and I was one of the only centers and power forwards in our division that would shoot threes. And people would be like, "Oh, look at this guy not being a real big," but I would still post up. So in my heart of hearts, I still have a love for big men who can shoot. It all started from Dirk Nowitzki because I used to watch Dirk like nobody's business and do the one-legged shot all the time. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the all-time shots, wasn't it? The old Dirk little fadeaway off the one leg.
Yep. Oh, Trae Young. I was pulling for Trae Young and Karl Anthony Towns. Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, Karl Towns was coming in as the roughie as well. You know, he was sitting at $12 or something in Australian betting, but I think, what, $1,200 or something
in America. It was huge. It was,
you know, and he's sitting there splashing it. Nearly broke the record. Oh, he did break the record, I think.
He did break the record. He broke Devin Booker's record. And the crazy thing is, he was saying how he's the best shooting big man. And he was like, yeah, this proves it. And I'm like, Dirk still exists, brother. But, like, you could be the second greatest shooting big man.
I mean, we can go all the way through. I mean, I think Karl Towns is probably the most complete shooting big man. But I don't know if he's the greatest.
I'm not giving it to him over shooting. Dirk. No way. Yeah facts.
But, yeah. So, All-Star happened. Unfortunately, we will have to talk about it. And I don't want to. And we have been, I mean, we were both in the spaces yesterday listening to it all get broken down. And it is the Zion Williamson, well, news-ish. I don't know. What do you even classify it as? He was a mention of him. National media took hold of it. We've sent our franchise into a tailspin. And it's purely that CJ McCollum was interviewed on the broadcast and asked if he'd spoken to Zion. He said no, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Couple of days later, Malik Andrews
and Shaq
out.
And Cullen. Shaq and, well, you got to add to this, Lyle, because it's very important. Shaq, Chuck, and Kenny made it even more awkward because they were like, do you know what's going on? He was like, nah. And then Chuck's laughing like, he's out of shape. And like, it just was a big mess, man. It was a hot mess. And to say he's the president of the Players Association, and that was just not a good look for Zion and the team, especially on All-Star Saturday night.
Yeah, and particularly because it really did take away, I think, from that became the overarching news. It wasn't, we got this sideline of the dunk contest, but now no one's talking about that. But every place I look, I'm seeing more about Zion Williamson and this 2-second snippet that CJ McCollum has said this. And we subsequently know that he did reach out to CJ. Malika Andrews from ESPN released that as well, or came out that subsequently they spoke. But now it has, I suppose, painted this
target, I guess, on Zion, and perhaps the Pelicans took a fair bit of the criticism throughout the journey up until this point, and then it sort of switched now, and the narrative has changed.
And I think the CJ McCollum incident combined with JJ Redick on First Take.
Yeah, exactly.
What JJ Redick did was basically he was, because at first you got to think JJ Redick has a beef with David Griffin. He is a Duke brother with Zion. He's not mentioning the Pelicans. He's blaming the Pelicans. So you have him blaming the Pelicans. National media likes to pick on the Pelicans. They've been blaming him. But like you said, once JJ Redick came out and the CJ McCollum, it switched. And I think JJ came out and said what he said because he's friends with CJ McCollum, one. Brandon Ingram's also part of the Duke brotherhood, who's been playing really good too. But more importantly, Trajan Langdon is the GM, and him and JJ have a great relationship. And I don't think JJ wants to see Trajan Langdon suffer because Zion's being a detached teammate. JJ's words exactly called him a detached teammate, said that this is a pattern of unprofessionalism of Zion for him not to give the Pelicans a chance with Brandon Ingram and another top 50 player in CJ McCollum. It's just ridiculous. And JJ hammered on him, and I think it was all fair criticism.
Yeah, and I think despite what the opinion around Pel's Twitter was about JJ Redick and how it all unfolded, I think he got hammered as well for the way it all ended. And I suppose his response...
He's welcome back in the city now. Like, people are loving him again.
Exactly right. You know, he started the moniker, the Pel's 12. You know, that was in direct response of him criticizing the fan base, and people turned around and, you know, that's sort of the moniker now, as I said. But what makes it interesting is JJ's probably got the most intimate insight into this whole thing. You know, he was in there. He was the vet on the team.
Yep.
Played with a whole heap of different all-stars and various levels of teams. He'd been a Stan guy as well. He played with Stan, and Stan had given him a lot of his career back in Orlando.
Yep.
I think that's what the stark sort of reality was, is that he's come out and criticized him. And do you think that's warranted, I suppose, on Zion from what we know, and you know, very little, I suppose, compared to
JJ
and the internal workings of the Pelicans. But from an outside looking in, what's your opinion of this whole saga, I suppose, of Zion Williamson? And yeah, go for it.
First, to answer the first part, I definitely think it's warranted for JJ to do this, and I applaud him for doing it, because the national media likes to, at least with the Pelicans, they like to blame, ever since Anthony Davis, they like to blame the organization and just say it's a crappy organization, it's a crappy organization, it's a crappy organization. They say, let's move it, let's move it, let's move it. Meanwhile, not looking at Sacramento, not looking at these other teams and being honest. It's just, they failed AD. They didn't win with Chris Paul. They can't win. They can't win. They can't win. And I'll say this, Lyle, we failed Anthony Davis. We did. I'm being honest. As the Zion situation has come, I've grown to be honest about the Anthony situation. I was really upset with Anthony when he left, but we failed him. Yes, we put DeMarcus Cousins around him, but it was too late. Yes, he had Drew Holiday, but we had the worst medical staff in the league. We had Dell Demps, who was a horrible GM. We fired the best coach in Monty Williams that he had. We failed him. But with Zion Williamson, that's a completely different situation. We have not failed him. Zion Williamson, we've put Willie Green around him, who's arguably the best young coach in the league. We have Brandon Ingram. We have Jonas Valanciunas. We now have CJ McCollum, three guys who are top 50 guys. You got Devontae Graham, who's a top 100 guy. You got Herb Jones, who is top five guy out of the draft, it turns out to be. You got Trey Murphy, who's a shooter, who's meant to play with you. You have this whole team of things built around you, and this is the best situation you have to win, but you're upset because you're not in New York, and you're pouting, and you're being unprofessional. You're skipping rehab sessions. You're skipping team meetings. You're not talking to teammates. You're not being a decent human being in the sense of just welcoming a new person to your team, your organization. You're supposed to be this leader, but you're detached, you're quiet, you're and then on the other thing, you're not even speaking about anything. So all we're left to do is speculate like we're doing right now. So all of this is warranted and then some, because this is his fault at the end of the day, listening to people who aren't basketball people. And when I say that, I'm talking about his stepfather and his family, because this has to be one of the worst job helicopter parent jobs we've seen, Lyle. A lot of people want to criticize LeVar Ball, but LeVar Ball never, ever got in the way of getting his kids on the court. Never. LeVar Ball was okay whether his kid went to Timbuktu or his kid went to LA. He wanted them in the NBA, and he looked out for their best interest. This Zion Williamson situation is mind-boggling, because every decision that his family has made for him has been the wrong decision.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that you look at, and it's almost it's head scratching. And you know, I don't want to go in on anything surrounding, I suppose, the. That comes across as bashing Zion, because I don't want to do that, because at the same time, I think that's...
And I'm not trying to. That's the thing. Sure. Like, exactly. I'm really not. And, like, that's the crazy thing. And that's why I said, like, we have the best situation for him. I don't understand. If it's about winning, then you can win here, brother. Like, I understand the team messed up your rookie year. I understand the second year wasn't what you wanted. But if Devin Booker, Giannis, Trae Young, and all these other guys played by that mind state, the Suns wouldn't be what they are today. The Bucks wouldn't be what they are today. Like, for you to have a team built for you in 3 years, that is special, man. So if it's about winning, why aren't you playing? So that tells me you're upset that you didn't go to the Knicks where you wanted to go. And if you wanted to, and if we look at both situations now, bro, they are a worse team than us. So I don't understand. That's why it's so mind-boggling, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. And This Knicks rhetoric where, you know, we're hearing that that's where he wanted to go. That's, you know, they went and got Cam Reddish, who they don't even want, or the coach doesn't even want. And it looks like they're all pandering to this Zion sort of thing. But they've got nothing that we want for them to be able to get him. Like, there's
talk about.
Feel free to send us RJ Barrett. Like, we'll have him. And we'll take Mitchell Robinson and completely gut your team. But
yeah, we'll take your whole team, because, like, there's nothing. There is nothing that the Knicks could offer. Like, that's my thing. If you want to get traded, okay, brother, but you're not getting traded there. You're not getting traded to where you want. You might get traded to the Thunder for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You might get traded to like, the middle of nowhere, Indiana, for Tyrese Haliburton. And I'm just saying random places. Yeah. These aren't real things. These are just random places, because it's to show that, like, you're not going to be in control of this. So you're not going to the big market you want. You'll be lucky if you end up in Miami. Like, you'll be lucky if you get to that big market. You might end up in the Six in Toronto, my brother, where it's freezing cold and you've never experienced that in your entire life. And let's see how you feel then. But even if you went to the Knicks, Lyle, the coach is Tom Thibodeau. You have injury issues. That would be the worst thing for his career ever.
Well, he'd have to go and play 48 minutes a night, because that's what Tom Thibodeau does. He just runs his starters into the absolute ground. So,
and Zion can't do that, man.
Yeah. And the expectation for him is that he's going to have to play this defensive, high motor, up and down the court for 45 minutes, limited rests. And that's not what they want. He also got to deal with an owner in the Knicks that is just no good. He's been so bad for so long.
A Looney Tune, man. Dude's just a Looney Tune.
And there's just no accountability over there. Like, why would you want to go to a place with no structure at all? Yeah. All right, you've got Madison Square Garden. All right, cool. But those Knicks fans, we know they're insane. We've seen all the videos.
It
all
seems almost clout chasey. Like, it doesn't seem like it's about winning. I'm like, that's the best way I can say it without seeming bashing him, because if it's about winning, then, like, you can win here now. Yeah. You can.
And the thing for me is that I want Zion Williamson here. I want him on my team. I want him to play.
Me too.
And this, we all know how good he is. We've seen it. This excuse that has been put around that, you know, last year was no good and the Pelicans did a disservice around him. Okay, I understand. Okay, maybe went and got teams or players.
The wrong coach.
Wrong coach and wrong players. But they're also dealing with no crowds, COVID. Complete restrictions. So we had that 14-day road trip where they were locked in hotel rooms. You weren't even allowed to see anyone.
Yeah.
But you know what? We've had people come out. Josh Hart said he was just about gonna give up basketball. He hated it. You know, Brandon Ingram was having a bad time with Stan
that's
as well.
Everywhere across the league.
No, like, one was having fun last year. No one. And then we've condensed this season. We gave them no off season. Some of the guys went to the Olympics, rolled straight into a new season, yep. and we're back on again. There's no surprises that people weren't having fun last year. No one had fun in the whole world. I don't know anyone that did.
And the fact that they're saying that this new coach in Willie Green has reinvigorated everyone's love for the game, it's like, bro, you're not going to even give him a shot? Like,
I've never seen a coach keep a locker room when you go 1-12. I've never seen that.
Me neither.
I've seen
That's a great point.
Sacked from 1-12. That'd be brand new coach. See ya.
And they played hard. Like, to that point, even during the 1-12 and after the 1-12, this team played hard. With Stan Van Gundy live on my radio show, I used to have to say one of my keys, and I used to hate this. One of my keys to them winning was effort. And I used to say on the radio show, man, I should never have to say a key is effort. Not once this year did I ever have to say a key to the game was effort, because this team plays hard for Willie Green. And that shows me how good of a coach he is.
Yeah, I agree. And a testament to him is Nikhil and Josh Hart rocking up after they've been traded, sitting courtside. Do you know, I was sitting there at the trade and I was like emotional. I was like, these guys are our guys and they've been traded. And yeah, I was stoked for CJ to come in as well. And I know that's, you know, that's the business of it. But I've never been emotionally invested in a team. Never. I followed the NBA for a long time and I've never, ever once felt like actual heartache when these guys were traded. And
they were our guys, man. And for them to be sitting courtside, like you said, that just shows the culture that Willie has built. Exactly. And it's like, man, we have something special here. Zion, just open your eyes. Like, give this a shot, because it could be something really, really special. Like, I say this all the time. If it's healthy Zion that we had last year with this team, I am not scared of Memphis. I'm not scared of 3-8. Like, I think 1-2 scare me, but that's because that's Golden State and the Suns. But I think we could beat Memphis and everyone else with a healthy Zion. I think we're a contender. That's how good I think he makes this team. And I just don't understand if everything he said of how he wants to be like Jordan, a winner, this, that, and the third. Well, you got it now, brother.
Yeah, we've done everything. The pieces are there. We just have a little space for you to stand in and just take over. And this team all of a sudden explodes. And you see, and people are going, oh, you know, and what we'll see, the narrative change as well. We're going to see this, oh, you know, we knew that when he came back, they were just going to be so good and have done such good effort putting this player around there and getting this guy and getting that leader.
And they'll talk about how he's this new Giannis trying to save the small market. And it's like, y'all weren't here during the hell days.
Yeah. And, you know, the quote that goes around is that Zion came out and he said, Drew Brees said it best, if you love New Orleans, they'll love you back. And it's exactly the same. You know, if he comes back, all he has to do is say, I'm here for the team or something. Even if it's crap, you know, even if you don't believe it, just say it. And
he doesn't even have to say it himself. Lyle, he could get his publicist to write it in an iPhone note. And if it comes from his page, New Orleans is like, our guy, he's back. Like, we would embrace him, lift him up, build a statue for him. All he has to do is just say, I want to be here. And like you said, it could be a lie, but at least say it to where you restore faith. And then that way it's not negative all day. And then when you do come back and play, they'll support you. And if you want to leave, at least you'll have people supporting you until you leave.
Well, Drew Holiday, for example, I want to go. Yep. I need to go. We're not on the timeline. I need to go and go to the Bucks. Immediately wins one.
Still and one of the most beloved Pelicans of all time.
You know, all credit to him. People, I was going for the Bucks because of Drew. You know, all credit to him. And ingrain yourself in the culture. I've been around the US and been to a whole different places. And New Orleans is a place. It's not like the rest of the US. It's completely different. It's completely different. Louisiana, you know, is completely different to the rest of the US. And that uniqueness of this place resonates with people from the outside. You just got to be able to embrace it. It's us against the rest.
Yep.
Come in, join the culture, embrace it, and you'll succeed. And
exactly.
Everyone will lift you up. And I think from the outside looking in, because I'm obviously not in Louisiana, not in the US, in Perth, and you see this mentality amongst fans and, you know, the wider Twitter is that they're almost ready to be hurt, you know, and I think it comes from, you know, seeing Anthony Davis leave how he did, and, you know, Chris Paul, and, you know, that they're ready to be heard again. And you compare that to the small things that Zion just has to do, the minimum. Larry Nance Jr. tweeted yesterday, a little flag, New Orleans, LA.
And people are excited.
And people are going nuts.
Yeah.
Like going nuts. That's all you had to do. I haven't heard anything else from Larry. I don't know him from bar or so.
We don't even know if he can play. Like, that's the thing. Like,
he's actually injured.
Was the like you said, all he tweeted was the location little pole flag thing. And it was New Orleans, and everybody's like, our guy, Nance is coming, the dunker, let's go.
You know, it's not hard, and it's disappointing that these simple things, it's not even a mentality thing. It's not even, like, all of that aside, all this, like, stuff about Zion's character or anything like that to the side. It's his publicity. It's his, PR. It's just bad marketing.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. The people around him are making horrible decisions because, like you said, his forget all the basketball stuff, the off the court stuff. If you want to be a jersey seller, if you want to be someone who gets these endorsements, like, and if you notice, I don't know if you noticed, Louisiana fans really do move the needle on Twitter. Like, Louisiana fans made Joe Burrow cool. Joe Burrow became a nationwide cool guy because of Louisiana's stamp. Like, when Louisiana gets behind somebody, they can be famous. Odell Beckham, even through all his hardship, people were saying free Odell. That stemmed from here. And it got LeBron to tweet it. Like, if you look at a lot of the famous social media people, they come from Louisiana. Mm. And just from a PR perspective, if you get this state behind you, it starts to be a snowball effect of everywhere in the South and then everywhere else in the country. If you want to sell shoes, like, you should at least do it for that.
I've got four pairs of his shoes, all different colorways. I got four pairs for Christmas. I put it on Twitter, and I've got all this gear that's from Zion. Awesome. There's a Zion figurine on me wall behind there. Like, you know, he's doing this. He's not even playing. Can you imagine how much you'd be able to sell to the – and that's because I'm a New Orleans fan. Imagine being able to sell it to everyone.
Yep. You know? Yep. And he still is, like, when viewership happens, like, when he plays, viewership on ESPN is through the roof.
Well, we have 15 national games last year because he was
exactly.
in it.
Exactly.
How many we had this year? Two. You know, exactly. And they keep taking him off us. So it's because he's not in there. We still got good players, but we're not playing on ESPN. I'll tell you what.
No, that's a fact. And, like, it's a good team, but it's not him. Like, he is that star power. And it's like, bro, think even if you don't want to be here, you would at least think you would want to rehab to get on the court to where you can raise your stock, to where you can go somewhere. And if you're nice about it, maybe they trade you somewhere decent. But the attitude you're taking, it's like, bro, we'll trade you to the Kings. Like,
Exactly.
Hold up.
Trade you to the NBL in Perth. There you go. But, I mean, overall, the season itself has been up and down. I mean, I think we're 23-36. I mean, digressing.
We're 11th,
You know, a couple of games outside the play-in now. Portland have announced today that Nurkic has got plantar fasciitis, so he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. I think
they're about to start pulling
it all down.
Yep.
He'll send him back to Bosnia to go and, catch up.
Yeah, we're tied at 11th right now at 23-36, like you said. Two games behind the Trailblazers at 25-34, and the Lakers sit at 27-31, who I think is catchable as well.
Yeah, so this really is the stretch run for us. I mean, we've got to string a few together. Big game against Phoenix coming up.
But no Chris Paul.
Yeah,
it is. Friday. Yep, Friday night.
So, you know, that's a big one. I think we've got the Lakers. It's a tough West Coast road trip coming up, but we've got to win a few. You know, I think that has to be the mentality. We got CJ in. You have the adjustment period. No one can discount how hard it is to bring in another guy.
Yeah, especially in the middle of the season.
Exactly right. You know, Brandon Ingram has been the guy. All of a sudden, he's the ball.
And he was he was definitely deferring in those first four games
you could see
to get CJ in. Yeah, you could see it 100%.
And So hopefully, you know, I think they're back on the court, back in the training today, or Wednesday. They were back in, back to work. And
yep.
Hopefully that gives them a couple of days to at least, I suppose, ingrain and learn the plays and things like that, and be able to play a bit more together. What do you need to see from these guys for the next few games? What do you want to see?
I think what I want to see is more so on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball, because I know CJ and Brandon are going to be able to score together. Funny enough, Lyle, the first play, when I saw CJ catch the ball when I saw Brandon catch the ball on the wing, CJ's on the other side, and I see, oh, defenders aren't hedging over. Oh, defenders are staying true. When Brandon drives, he's getting a legitimate one-on-one. That's because of CJ. So I'm not worried about offense. What I want to see is defensive rotations, how CJ plays help side, and what the closing unit looks like defensively. Are we moving on a string like we were before without Josh Hart? And I want to see who's going to step up in that role of, I'm going to get team rebounding. I'm going to make sure I block out. I'm going to make sure I play defense out. I know people are expecting it to be Herb, but we already put a lot on Herb as our best defender. I would like to see someone else step up and be the guy that kind of initiates team rebounding and is the vocal guy on defense to keep us on a string, because without Josh Hart, we're missing that. So that's kind of what I'm interested to see, because Willie's a defensive coach. How does his defense change now with losing a guy like Josh Hart, who kind of was a coach on the floor?
Yeah, and I mean, I think we saw that in the first few games, that there was a bit of discombobulation, the word of the day, on the defensive end. And, you know, it comes down to just being comfortable playing together. I think it comes down to working out who's going to be the vocal leader on the court.
Yeah, now, communication.
You know, Josh is sitting there just barking the whole time, sending people different ways, hitting three or four guys as he's going through, you know, that hustle effort. And it is going to be the next man up. I'm also interested in this rotation going forward. I think
that
we played the eight players in the last game, you know, dropping Jose out, dropping Trey Murphy, had fallen back out after a few games of playing some minutes. What do you think going forward is? I know the rotational short going, shortened going into playoffs, because that's typically what they do. They push the other guys harder because you can. What do you want to see out of this rotation?
So for me, I think the players I would want to see play, Brandon, I would want the starting lineup to be Brandon. I like the Jackson Hayes at the four thing.
Yeah, same.
Jonas, CJ, and Herb. So that's the five. I want Devontae Graham, first man off the bench, as six man, because I think that fits him the best. I like Tony Snell. He adds shooting and defense. I think he has to be a part of it.
He was huge against Luka.
And honestly, I want Jose Alvarado over Garrett Temple playing. I just do. And that's kind of the eight-man rotation, Lyle, that I'm thinking. And then you can maybe throw in Hernan Gomez as, like, if you need an extra big. But that's the eight that I want to see. Brandon Jackson, Jonas, CJ, Herb, Tony Snell, Devontae Graham, and Jose Alvarado. If it's a bigger team, Gary Clark instead of Jose. But I would prefer Jose every time.
Yeah, I think Jose's proven that he's a genuine backup point guard in this league.
Yep, and he's quality too. Can knock down shots. His height doesn't deter him on the defensive end. Like, I like Jose Alvarado a lot.
His motor is something else too. I mean, there was that one, he missed the layup. It was a few games ago, and he ran the whole length of the court and got the steal at the other end. I was like, just chase this guy down from behind. I thought that was just...
And then helped initiate the score on the next play right after.
Exactly right. And you know, as a backup point guard, that's what you got to do. You got to come in and change the momentum of the game. And I mean, we're talking about an undrafted two-way guy now, and to say that he became a critical part of the rotation, well, all credit to you. You know, that's hard
exactly
work.
That's huge. And I'm ready for him, for us to give him that contract. And maybe I think Najee might, depending on if Najee, you know, where he's at. Najee's a guy who could fill that Josh Hart role and be that leader. So if that's the case, then you can cut Clark out and use Najee instead.
Yeah, and, you know, that was the big story last year, is that Najee does the same things that Josh Hart
does. Josh does. Well, now let's see it, brother, because you got paid, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And, yeah, he was doing the same stuff that Josh was doing last year, because Josh wasn't getting used properly. All of a sudden, Josh becomes this almost triple-double threat nightly because of his ability to pass, rebound, and score, and learned and developed the three-point shot out of nowhere. But all credit to Josh for doing that. Like,
yeah, no, 100%.
You know, and he seems to be on a bit of a tear for the Portland Trailblazers. So
He's been killing him. Shout out to Josh, man.
So before we wrap up, and I appreciate you taking the time. I'll let you go.
Oh, no problem.
Get into your evening. What are your, retrospectively, now that we're halfway through, what have you liked about this team this year? What have you disliked? And yeah, anything that you want to shout out, and we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I think my likes would be Willie Green. That's like the biggest takeaway so far of we got our guy. We can hang our hat on that. We have a guy who's developed a culture. I think the next thing would be I've loved what I've seen from Brandon Ingram stepping into that star role. It's shown that he can lead a team. He can be the guy that's your number one option on a championship team. You just have to put the right pieces around him. So I think those two things really are something that we can hang our hats on as positives. Now, dislikes, he's not here anymore. I would have loved to see Nickeil Alexander-Walker really grow into what we thought he was going to be in the offseason, but, you know, c'est la vie. But I also would say the injuries and that sort of stuff. I mean, classic Pelly stuff. But I really think I'm looking more at the glass half full than half empty, because I can see the injuries were a major cause for us being this far in the hole. Like, Brandon was out for time. Jonas was out for time. At one point, we had a whole bench unit in there playing and was still winning games, which is crazy to me. And so I'm not looking at I don't have too many negatives. I really think the major two positives, though, is we have our head coach of the future, and we have Brandon Ingram in case Zion Williamson doesn't want to come back or whatever happens with him. We have a guy who can be our franchise guy. So those are the two things that really make me excited about what I've seen this season so far.
And I think you've summed that up perfectly. I think that is exactly the same for me. And Lynn, thank you so much for joining us.
No,
you
problem,
got anything,
man,
you want to shout out or plug or anything before we back up?
Gotcha, man. Y'all can follow me on Twitter at LynnBWT. Follow my podcast network on Twitter at Bros Who Think. That's where you get all the information about the shows and whatnot. But the Bros Who Think podcast drops every Thursday. And by the time you guys hear this, if this is dropping on Thursday, well, by the time you guys hear this, there'll be a new Bros Who Think podcast out. And again, you can find all that information at Bros Who Think on Twitter, and just search Bros Who Think Network wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It'll be there. And just thank you again, Lyle, man, for giving me the opportunity, man. I can't wait to come and talk Pelicans with you again. Hopefully we'll be in better spirits next time.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll both be there with our championship shirts on, and we'll be flying. It'll be good.
100%, man.
Thank you very much. And we'll chat soon.
Yes, sir.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Thanks again to Lynn for joining us. Make sure you go and follow him over at the Bros Who Think Network, and you can catch him on ESPN Lafayette on his radio show there as well. So, guys, I'm going to wrap up. We'll leave it at that. We had a fantastic chat, a little bit longer than usual, but, you know, we had a lot to talk about. So, go and enjoy the rest of your day, evening, morning, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for listening in. If you want to go and follow us, like we said at the start, at Ethos Pelicans is the show, at Lyle Swithenbank, LyleSwithenbank as in bank. And bye for now.